If you'd like to find your spot, we're going to be in Luke chapter 11 this morning. I've been pondering on this passage all week, praying for insight into God's Word. I was telling Daniel earlier, I'm a pretty black and white, concrete thinking kind of a guy. I'm not real artsy. I don't do great with abstract. And today we got two metaphors and a simile. I've been needing God's guidance and help. Here's where I think that the Lord kind of helped me get my mind around this light and darkness and lamps and eyes and bodies. It goes all the way back to the beginning. You remember in Genesis 1? In the beginning, it was darkness, nothing. And God said, let there be. And what happened? Immediately, there was light. He saw that the light was good. And then God gave the moon for night and the sun for daytime to give us light. And think about the sun, the radiance, the brilliance, the hotness of the sun. I mean, think about the power of the sun, how it exposes, how it expels darkness, how it purifies and cleanses. The sun is powerful. In the beginning, all that God made was good. There was no evil. There was no sinfulness in man. Y'all remember what happened? Here's how you can summarize what happened. Mankind doubted God's goodness. He thought, God's holding back something good from me. His commandment is restrictive, and I want to do it my way. I want to have more fun than he allows. So man disobeyed God. He was deceived and disobeyed God. Sin entered his world. Darkness. Destruction. Death enters the world. God and man are separated because of sin. I mean, it spirals, y'all, fast. Cain and Abel, Noah's Ark. And some people think, how could God destroy whole world except for one family? And the better question is, how did that one family even make it? God's grace. He saved Noah and his family. Then he calls Abraham to be a light. That the people, the lineage of Abraham will become a light to the world to show the world who God is. And slowly God is revealing himself more and more to lost mankind think about it. We're just in darkness. Everybody doing what's right in their own eyes. Everybody trying to find their way. Everybody just filling their way around in darkness. And God is constantly through the Old Testament revealing himself more and more. Man's still in darkness. And then there's 400 years of silence. Talking about darkness. And then we began the study of Luke. Y'all remember what happened? God sent his son to become light in a dark world. Jesus, God the Son, who has existed forever, left the glory and splendor and recognition of heaven to be born as a baby. That's what we celebrate at Christmas, the coming of our Lord to be light on this earth, to point us to himself, to show us who he is and what he's like, to seek and to save the lost. And we've been studying all the way through Luke and seeing all kind of wonderful glimpses of his glory, of his brightness, the power that he has to forgive sin, the power that he has to heal sickness, the power that he has over nature to calm storms, to raise the dead, the teaching that he brings to the table that's unlike anything that they had ever heard, his ability to call people to himself and to raise them up and to give them the same authority to go and heal the sick and to proclaim the gospel, the kingdom of God, to cast out demons themselves. I mean, he has all authority and power. He's amazing. A couple weeks ago, John preached about an episode. John, not John the Baptist, John the Sager, preached about a time that Jesus cast this demon out of someone and everybody's starting to doubt. They said he does this by the power of Satan. He shows them the absurdity of that, but they're testing him. They're looking for a sign. What sign do you give us that shows us you have the authority to do these things? And I'm thinking, hello, he just did it. That's the authority. He did it. He spoke and it happened. But they couldn't see it. And then last week, Daniel preached, and Jesus says, it's a wicked and evil generation that seeks a sign. I'll give you the sign of Jonah. The light of the world is in their midst, but they can't see it. It's amazing. And that's where this passage today picks up. Luke chapter 11. We're going to read verses 33 through 36. No one, after lighting a lamp, puts it in a cellar or under a basket, but on a stand. Why? So that those who enter may see the light. Y'all say light. Your eye is the lamp of your body. We'll unpack that. When your eye is healthy, your whole body is full of light. Y'all say light. But when it is bad, your body is full of darkness. Therefore, be careful lest the light, y'all say light, lest the light in you be darkness. If then your whole body is full of what? Light. Having no part dark, it will be wholly bright as when a lamp with its rays gives you light. Come on. Thank you. Let's pray. Father, please, by your word and your spirit, be light. Lord, give us light. Guide us in light. Help us to see you for who you are and to worship you. If there be any darkness in us, Lord, would you expose it by your light? Would you expel it from our lives? Lord, help us to see you. Help us, Lord, to examine our lives according to the truth of your word. Help us, Lord Jesus, to see you for who you are and to bow before you gladly and fully. Lord, do what we can't do ourselves. Help us, God. Would you minister to every heart in this room? Meet everyone here exactly where they are. Get them to where you want them to be. And we ask it by faith. In Jesus' name, amen. So, here's what I was thinking. Instead of just jumping straight to explanation, why don't we unpack this a little bit together in the beginning so we can get your juices flowing and maybe you can see, like I was telling Daniel, like this passage was tricky for me this week. It's very clear, but it's still so abstract. So how about we unpack it a little bit together? You see how I got to where I get. Then I'm going to preach at you just a little bit. That was a joke. I don't want to preach at you, but I do want to preach to you. So Scripture, okay? In Scripture, you think about the whole of Scripture. What might light represent? What does light represent? What are the different things that light represents in Scripture? What do y'all think? Jesus? What else? Gospel? What else? The Word? What else? Life? What else? Goodness? Salvation? What? Truth? Come on. Righteousness? What about you walk into a room, you can't see anything, you flip on the switch, and what? It reveals, right? What'd you say, April? It's illuminating, right? It guides. Yes, sir. I thought you had something for me. What else? Anything? Understanding, right? Y'all said truth and goodness. Revelation. Light is a picture of revelation. Perception. Wisdom. You know what light does? Like physically, light expels darkness. Think about it. Turn on the lights and darkness is gone. How cool is that? Light figuratively exposes lies. Exposes sin. Light exposes evil. Truth. So what in Scripture could darkness represent? What would you say? Say it loud. Okay. The devil. What else? Death. Sin. Sir? I can't hear. Drugs. Yeah. Darkness. Deception. And destruction. What? Lies. Come on. Thank you, Duke. Evil. Wicked deeds. Right? Think about those that are doing wickedness really want to do it behind the cover of darkness, right? Not in the light, but we want to do it in the darkness. It represents hiding. Darkness. Dark deeds. Dark deeds hide from the light, lest they be exposed, right? Now, hey, by the way, I really can't hear great, so y'all, if you have something to say, say it loud so we can all hear it. I think y'all hear it better than I do. Do what? Okay, let's keep going. What other passages come to your mind that speak of light? Any other passages that just, maybe you don't have the address, and that's okay. If you do, give it to us, but you could just tell us the gist of the passage. Jesus said, I'm the light of the world, John 1. What else? Philippians 4:8, what does it say? Yeah. Good job. That's right. Come on. What else? Light. Light. A lot in John talks about light. What you got? What did you say? John 3:16. Amen. Come on. Come on. Good job. Come on. A lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. It's hard to read this passage and not think about that scripture, right? That's Psalm 119. What else? Anything? You want me to show you something cool I learned? I learned this week. If you have the Bible app on your phone, we'll do this in real time. You can open it up. You can go to your Bible. And there's a little magnifying glass up top for searching. You can go in there and search. Type in light. And then all kind of options come up. When you type in light, you've got light of the world, let your light shine, salt and light, angel of light, be the light, I am the light. And so you can click on one of those and say, okay, what scriptures are with these themes? Listen to, let me just read a few. Y'all have mentioned these. Daniel mentioned John 1, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. John's just to the right. Listen to this. I'm going to read to you John 1. I'll go ahead and just read. In the beginning was the Word, And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to bear witness about the light, that all might believe through Him. He was not the light, but came to bear witness about the light. The true light, which gives light to everyone, was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through Him, yet the world did not know Him. He came to His own, and His own people did not receive Him. But to all who did receive Him, who believed in His name, He gave the right to become children of God, who were born not of blood, nor the will of the flesh, but of the will of man. Sorry, not of the will of man, but of God. Jesus, the light of the world. John chapter 3. Our little buddy talked about John 3:16. Listen to this. For God so loved the world that He gave His only Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through Him. Whoever believes in Him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe is condemned already, because he's not believed in the name of the only Son of God. And this is the judgment. The light has come into the world, and people love the darkness rather than the light, because their works were evil. In John chapter 8, verse 12, Jesus said, I'm the light of the world. So here we are, Scripture testifying that Jesus, God the Son, came to this world to bring light, to be the light, to point to salvation, eternal life, the kingdom of God. He came to call people to repentance, back to Himself, to seek and to save the lost. The light, I mean the brightest light, is right there in front of them, but they can't see it. They ask for a sign. They love darkness rather than light. Sounds kind of like the generation that we live in. How amazing that they have Jesus, the light of the world, in their presence. He came to expose darkness, to bring light. I mean, think about all the miracles that we've studied so far that He performed in their presence. And the wisdom with which He taught. Jesus said in verse 33, lamps are meant to shine, not to be covered up. And He shined brightly. Some get it. Some got it, right? Don't forget it. Some got it. They saw Him for who He was. But many, many did not see the light. Verse 34. Jesus said that your eye is the lamp of your body. Now think about this. If we are all in this room right now, and the lights are bright, the lights are on, but we can't tell the lights are on. Is the problem with the light? What's the problem? It'd be with our eyes, right? It's with us. Think about it. Look at what He said in verse 34. Your eye is the lamp of your body. When your eye is healthy, your whole body is full of light. But when it is bad, your body is full of darkness. If you're in the presence of a bright light and don't know it, problems with your eye. You can't see it. The eye here is like your eye gate, right? It's what you perceive with, what you see with. It's your perception, your understanding. And the body is not just your physical body. It's your whole self. It's who you are as a person, okay? So let's look at this. If your eyes, your spiritual eyes, the eyes of your heart are good, you see Jesus for who he is. And as he shines into your light, your life, he illuminates your whole self, your whole presence, your whole person, your whole body. But if you don't see him, you don't recognize him, you don't recognize his message, if you don't receive his light, you're in darkness and you're full of darkness. Does that make sense? And he warned them. Therefore, verse 35, be careful lest the light in you be darkness. Now think about who he's talking to. After this paragraph, a Pharisee invites him to his home, and he is about to unleash on these blind guides. The Pharisees who have the word memorized. The Pharisees who are the religious leaders of the day. The religious elite. He's about to unload on them, and he's warning them, be careful lest what you think is light in your life actually be darkness. The Son of God came to this world, but it did not want light. It wanted darkness. These Pharisees, these teachers of the law, these leaders of religion did not see the light. Why? Because they were too focused on their own religiosity, their own merit. They didn't see their need for a Savior. They, in their mind, kept the law. Church after church after church in the Bible Belt of America, filled up with people who think that their darkness is light. Who think that they can bring something good enough to the table for salvation. I heard it said, the only thing we bring to the table for our salvation is our sin. That's all we bring to the table. If you think, how could a good God send people to hell? You don't see the light. How could a good God let anybody into heaven? He's so righteous. And we are so wicked. That's why grace is so sweet, y'all. We don't deserve heaven. We don't deserve Jesus. We can't be good enough, y'all. If I quit sinning today, if I never sinned again for the rest of my life, I got a boatload of sin from yesterday that needs to be dealt with. So here's what we got to get. God is light. In him there is no darkness. God is righteous and perfect and pure and holy. And he is a good and righteous judge that will judge sin. And we are all naked and bare before his light. We can't hide from him. We might try and we might think that we do. Doesn't matter if you're under the covers, he sees you. Doesn't matter if the lights are out, he knows. Y'all, it rocked my world the night that it made sense. There's a God in heaven that knows the deepest, darkest secrets of my heart. The things that I would never tell you about. He knows it. I can't hide from him. I'd heard the gospel my whole life. And finally, by God's grace, I think about Justin. When I met Justin, he told me, can I tell him just about it? I met him in jail. He said, you need to go tell the judge, don't let me out. Don't let me out. If you let me out, I'm going to go back to doing what I used to do, and I don't want to do it anymore. Tell him, don't let me out. He wrote the judge a letter and said, did you not read my file? Why are you going to let me out? I don't need to be out. And I shared the gospel, and he said, I've heard that stuff. It don't work for me. Share my testimony about what God had done in my life when he shined his light into my heart, when he exposed my sinfulness, but he showed me his goodness, his ability to save the worst of sinners, to save to the uttermost, and to not just to forgive, but to take over, to change the power of sanctification, to change a life, to change desires, to change actions and attitudes, to change perspectives in our life. When the light shines in us, it changes the way we see everything around us. And I told him, hey, go to church tonight. This was a Thursday. I got three buddies. They're going to be going to the church call. The only time, I think, that they had all gone together. It was Slim and Guy and Forrest. How crazy is it how God works? So he went. He went. And I think it was Slim talking that night. No offense, Slim. But what Justin told me later, this isn't like an eloquent preacher, but I was thinking, the power of God is at work in this guy. And if he can do that in Slim's life, maybe he can do it in my life. I saw Justin about a month later, and the moment I saw him, I could tell his countenance was different. Why? Because light was shining in his heart. God used the light in his other children, Slim and Guy and Forrest, to show the brightness of his gospel to Justin. And Justin said, I was reading a book by Andrew Murray. Who just finds a book by Andrew Murray? Was it Murray? Is that right? And I'm going to butcher the quote, but it was basically this. He who never intended to change never really surrendered. Something along those lines. You can say it better. And he said, I realized I never really expected God to change me. I never really wanted to change. But that day, this is the word he used. It's just like somebody turned on a light switch, and I got it. And he's like, I wish I knew how to flick it on for everybody. I'd go around this jail just turning everybody's light switches on, showing them the power of God, the transforming power of the gospel. Has that happened to you? Has that switch been flipped yet? Could it be that if it hasn't, you've been trusting in your own righteousness? Could it be that if it hasn't, you love darkness rather than light? And could it be that today's the day that you say, God, I can't even turn the switch, but would you please do it in my heart? God, would you give me eyes to see? God, would you give me ears to hear? God, would you give me a heart to believe? What if you just said, God, this is what I said, God, I can't do it. But if you'll help me, I'll give you my life. I knew I couldn't do it. I knew I couldn't live for him in my own power. I didn't even have the ability to surrender in my own strength. But God, if you'll help me, I'll give it to you. What if you did that today? God, I'm tired of playing games. God, I'm tired of going down the same path. God, I'm tired of the same cycle. God, I'm tired of unbelief. God, I'm tired of darkness. I'm tired of self-righteousness. I'm tired of empty religion. I'm not good enough. I can't be good enough. But I believe that Jesus is able. I believe Jesus lived the perfect life that I can't live. And I believe he died on the cross to pay the penalty for my sin. And if you'll help me, God, I'll surrender. Today's the day. Why not? And this is what Jesus said. Be careful lest the light in you be darkness. There are people all around us that are exposed to light but they don't perceive it as light. We need God's Word, just like the Psalm 19 that John read. We need Him to expose the darkness in our lives. Listen to what else he said, and we're going to wrap it up. If then your whole body, verse 36, is full of light, having no part dark, it will be wholly bright as when a lamp with its rays gives you light. Have you tasted and seen that the Lord is good? Has He saved your soul? You remember when He began just to work in you? I remember sitting in church. I didn't even know why I had been feeling the way that I had been feeling, but the preacher was preaching and it started clicking and making sense. I remember when Slim first started coming to church, he'd lean over while the preacher was preaching. He'd say, "You been telling him about me?" The Holy Spirit was taking the Holy Word of God and applying it to the secrets of his heart. And I was like, "Nah, Slim, that's the Holy Spirit, bro." God goes to work, shining the brightness of His light, His Spirit in you at work, exposing the dark crevices of your heart. And it hurts sometimes because He's pruning us. But it's good that He prunes us. He loves us way too much to leave us where He found us. He is conforming us into the image of His Son. He's making us like Himself. He's shining the brightness of His light. And you know what? Sometimes, even believers, we want to try to hide from it, don't we? We don't want to be fully light. We don't want to be fully transparent. We don't want to be fully known. We want to cling to these little dark spots. We don't want to give them up. Why would we cling to darkness when He's given us light? Why would we cling to death when He's given us life? Why would we cling to the things that kill us when He's delivering us from those things? Why would we cling to things that will never satisfy when He's offering us Himself, I mean, utter, abundant life? Light. Do you let His light shine in every area of your life? And when His light exposes sinfulness, when the light of God exposes sinful attitudes, sinful practices, thoughts and desires, why do we not just let Him expel it? Light exposes and expels darkness. All we got to do is say, "God, You're right and I'm wrong. Please remove this from me and help me to replace this lie with the truth of Your Word." Every time you read the Bible, you're sitting down to meet with God. And you're saying, "God, use Your Word. Holy Spirit, illuminate Your Word and shine it brightly in my life. Expose what You want me to turn from. Teach me who You really are. Show me what You want me to be like. God, work in me. Transform me. Help me to be conformed into Your image." You're sitting down with God and you're asking Him to shine His light through every area of your heart. "God, are there any relationships that I'm clinging to that are sinful? God, are there any perspectives that I have that are contrary to Your Word? God, am I being shaped by this culture around me? Or am I being shaped by Your Word?" You think about it. I met with a guy. I'm just going to go long. I met with a guy the other day. We're sitting in my living room and we're talking about life. We're talking about politics, actually. Too many times we let politics define what's moral. We don't have conversations because we're afraid to be lined up with a camp. And you know what? If you're in darkness or if you hadn't seen the light of this sense, we're talking about pro-choice versus pro-life. I mean, if you don't have the light of God's Word to give you guidance, I can see where pro-choice makes sense. What about the choice of the life? See, if God's Word is guiding us in truth, God's Word says that from the moment of conception, that is a creation, a human being created in God's image. From the moment of conception all the way until the very end of life. It doesn't matter if you're old and feeble and don't bring anything to the table when it comes to production and society. The elderly are created in God's image from the very moment of conception all the way through sanctity of life. God's word shines in darkness and says that murder is murder and it's wrong. That's not me being political. I'm not political about these things. I want to stand on what God's word teaches. I was just watching a show yesterday with Megan. It's a show I like to watch. And there was a character that was wanting to know if they should marry an individual or not. And they thought, well, let's get away for a week and just see if we're compatible in the bed. That makes sense in his life in darkness. But when God's word says light, this God's word is life. Listen, Jesus is the one who made us. He knows us. He created us. He gave us an instruction manual that's pretty clear. Okay? God's gift of intimacy in marriage is a beautiful thing. It's not bad or wrong. But he gave us clear parameters and guidelines, and it's for our good. I want you to know, last week when Daniel was preaching Jesus said, blessed are those rather who hear and keep my word. Keeping God's word is a blessing to us. Do you know that? Even if you're not even a believer, you go live according to the book of Proverbs, you're going to do pretty good in life. Why? Because God's word is a blessing to us to guide us in truth. It's a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. Let his word shine into every area of your life. Let it inform you. I remember being a new believer and people asking me, what do you believe about this? What do you believe about that? And I'd say, you know what? I don't know yet. I don't know what God's word says. But whatever it says is what I'm going to believe. This is our authority. Science changes, y'all. I grew up learning that Pluto was a planet. Now it's a moon or a satellite or what? I don't know. God's word endures forever. The morality of different cultures, what's acceptable or not, changes. God's word endures forever. This is the lamp. This is your guidepost. Tether your life to it. If it shines into your life and you see areas of darkness, don't try to turn the light off. Let it root out sin in your life. Be careful lest the light in you be darkness. Here's how we'll close. This is actually the middle of Luke, but it's toward the end of Jesus' earthly ministry. And if you don't know the full story, it almost seems like darkness wins. The religious leaders get so fed up with Jesus, they finally devise a plan. They work together across political boundaries, and they have him crucified. Do y'all remember what was happening? They beat him, and they cursed him, and they mocked him. And all he said was, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. They hung him on a cross to die an excruciating death. And we know, according to God's plan, that this is not because he was helpless, that he couldn't save himself. At any minute, he could have stopped it. But he came to die in our place for our sin because of our darkness. For 3 hours while he hung on the cross, it went pitch black dark from noon until 3 p.m. That don't happen often. Pitch black dark. Seemed like darkness had won. They took his lifeless body off the cross. And they put it in a borrowed tomb. They rolled a big old stone over it. Set some guards up there to make sure that nobody tampered with it. But y'all know what happened, right? Darkness didn't win. 3 days later, he rose from the grave. He was seen by more than 500 witnesses. He spent some time equipping and strengthening his disciples, and then as they watched, he ascended into heaven. And you know what? Right now, he illuminates heaven with his glory, with his brightness. He's alive. I think about the Mount of Transfiguration. I think about the book of Revelation. I'd encourage you, go read it. Let God's word inform you on who Jesus is and what he came to do and the power of his gospel. He's alive today, right now. Light has won. And guess what? He's coming back. He's coming back. I wish he'd come right now. But I want to see my kids grow up. I wish he'd come right now. I want to know if I'm going to have grandkids. I wish he'd come right now. But my political party won. I wish he'd come right now. Come, Lord Jesus, come. And until he comes, he's coming. Let's let our light shine so brightly that those around us get to see who he is and what he's like. Here's another fear I have, that some of us in this room go around parading ourselves like we're in the light, but we're actually doing deeds of darkness that lead other people astray. Let us not be those people. Let us be full of the light, and let the light expose sin in our life, and let us be openly transparent, and let us be real, but let us be dependent on Jesus to help us live for his kingdom and his glory. So now, as our worship team comes forward, what's God saying to you today?